Coming to you from semi-scenic Loma Linda, California, it's Reviews and Perspectives with Dr. Hobart Lee.
Okay, Heidi, how are you doing?
I am doing swell, Hobie. Very swell. It's good to see you. Good to be here to talk.
Yeah, I'm happy to see you too. So I have an interesting story to tell you from when I interviewed for residency.
Oh my gosh, I love your stories, and I bet this one is going to be the cream of the crop.
I don't know about that, but I was interviewing for residencies, and I went to one program, and surprisingly, they had us take a test of sorts.
Oh.
I guess to kind of assess for baseline medical knowledge, that kind of thing. So one of the questions they asked was, what's the difference between primary prevention and secondary prevention?
Looking from where I sit now, that's a very easy question because primary prevention prevents the disease before it occurs, you know, kind of like immunizations would prevent something.
Yeah, perfect. And then what about secondary prevention?
Well, secondary prevention is about reducing the impact of a disease that's already there, you know, like preventing that second heart attack after you've had a first one.
Perfect.
So, of course, you got that question right, obviously, because every fourth year med student knows that.
Yeah, right. Well, I was a nervous young lad, and so I actually switched the definitions of primary and secondary prevention. And
so subsequently,
I got a very disapproving look from the program director, who I think was expecting more from a fourth-year medical student interested in family medicine. But the good conclusion to this story is, don't worry, disapproving program director from a long time ago. I now, as a program director, have the opportunity to ask tricky questions and give disapproving looks to students interviewing at my own program. So it all comes full circle.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. How does this tie into our discussion? I'm sure it does, but I don't see how just yet.
Well, yes. So I wanted to talk to you today about vitamin D screening.
So that's a big and controversial topic. You sure we've got the bandwidth to actually cover that one and do it justice?
Yes. Well, I'm not sure, but I do get asked about this a lot. I get asked from patients who want to be screened, from patients who are following up from some other doctor that screened them and they got an abnormal result, or even from residents who say they want to screen their patients, et cetera.
Yeah, this is a good one because at the heart of screening is we should be looking for things that if we change it, we can prevent an outcome. So like in this case, it's totally worthwhile to screen for low vitamin D levels if fixing those low levels would prevent a disease from developing or have an impact on the worsening of a disease that already exists. And I know my colleagues, the public, and lots of people have lots of opinions about screening for vitamin D and vitamin D supplementation. So this is controversial, and I love a controversy. Let's jump into it.
Okay. Well, first things first, let's make sure we're all talking about the same thing. Vitamin D deficiency, or its fancy pseudonym, hypovitaminosis D, is determined by measuring serum total hydroxyvitamin D, or 25 OHD levels. Okay, so I have a question for you, Heidi. What is the lab cutoff which determines deficiency?
Oh, I am not a fourth-year medical student interviewing to be in your program, so I know this is a trick question, Hobie. I know, because there is no expert consensus or agreement on what constitutes deficiency. Some groups talk about insufficiency versus deficiency to provide gradations on how low their patient's vitamin D level is, and that's actually how our lab reports things. So you can't, but in reality, you can't often look at the lab report for a cutoff and use that to determine if there's a problem.
Yes, to me, this is totally crazy.
Yeah.
And we cannot, as a physician group and as a medical society, sort of agree on a number. So because we can't agree, we're just going to subdivide it into further divisions to obfuscate the idea. We just don't know really what's happening here or what number is good and what number is bad.
Yeah, absolutely. So what does the literature say about it? Does it say that screening for vitamin D improves any health outcomes? I mean, I hope it does. The amount of vitamin D screening I see going on, it better make a heck of a lot of difference.
Okay, well, you may be a little bit disappointed here. Kawadi et al. Looked at this as part of updating the U.S. PSDF recommendations on screening for vitamin D deficiency in adults. And they found, wait for it, zero relevant studies regarding screening. Zero.
Zero? As in like no studies have been done?
No studies. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That is surprising to me. Now, is this for the general population or does it incorporate studies looking at like different high-risk populations? I'm thinking of, you know, like nursing home patients or those who may be obese or older or those of African-American heritage.
Yeah, so the USPSTF looked at that too, and they found zero studies about screening for vitamin D in high-risk subpopulations.
Again, zero.
Zero.
No studies.
Nope.
There's nothing.
How can there be no studies, and yet we are screening so many people on a regular basis for vitamin D levels? Like, how can that be the case?
I don't know. That's why I want to talk about this topic. Because you look at the evidence, which is some of the stuff that we like to do here, and I would argue, I think the USPSTF does a great job trying to do a relevant background literature search and trying to answer these questions. They found zero studies regarding screening.
No studies on screening, so we can't really comment if we should or should not be doing it.
That's right.
But what about the harms? If there's no sign of benefit, is there anything that tells us whether it's a bad thing to do?
Yeah, so interestingly enough, there are no studies on harms too. So screening, again, talking about screening, there were zero studies they found on harms of screening. So essentially, we don't know. We have zero studies looking at either the benefit or the harm of vitamin D screening.
Oh my gosh, what a gong show. What a gong show. Well, because everybody and their dog is being screened for vitamin D levels based on zero evidence, is there any evidence to support doing something about those vitamin D levels if they're low, if they're insufficient or deficient?
Yes, sort of. So let's do some rapid fire yes or no questions here. Is there evidence to support treating vitamin D deficiency for mortality?
I know how this interview is going so far, and the answer for every question seems to be no. So I'm going with no.
Yes, that's correct. No. How about fractures?
No.
Correct. How about falls?
No.
So, that's a trick question there. So there is a small decrease, maybe 0.1 fewer falls per person year in community-dwelling older adults. But I will tell you, it's hard to know given the type of measurement that was used in a lot of these studies. Was it new falls versus total falls? So either way, maybe you can make an argument for a very small decrease in falls in community-dwelling older adults.
I'm no statistician, but I don't think that finding merits a strong recommendation for giving vitamin D, for treating vitamin D insufficiency.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's hard to call that a strong recommendation. But moving on. So what about the incidence of diabetes or cardiovascular disease or cancer or depression?
I'm going to say no. It's the theme of the day.
Yeah, all no's, right? So all were not statistically significant. So now for the caveats. When you look at institutionalized patients or nursing home patients or homebound patients, there may be a small reduction in mortality, but it was really hard to say given the heterogeneity of the individual studies. When they looked at other subgroups like men versus women, or patients who started with a very low vitamin D level, like less than 20 nanograms per milliliter, or even concomitant use of calcium, or subgroups like African-American patients, they were all too limited to draw any general conclusions.
I see there's a lot of different doses that are recommended and used for vitamin D, even if they're not recommended by anybody. And this is a bit concerning. I know some people like doing daily dosing of a range between 400 and 4,000 international units.
Right.
Some recommend weekly doses between 20,000 and 50,000 international units. And some like a one-time dosing. Wow, I've never heard of this. Of giving like a lump sum of 100,000 international units. And then it brings up other questions. Like, do you throw in some calcium with that vitamin D if you're worried about bone health? Or do you not do that? All of these things make it really hard to generalize these studies into a single unified conclusion. It's just messy.
Yeah, agreed. And so I think that's part of the struggle of trying to make a recommendation around this topic is there is so much heterogeneity around treatment of vitamin D. And I will mention, while adverse events were not statistically different, patients did report some GI issues, fatigue, musculoskeletal complaints, lightheadedness, headache, rashes, itching, all were some of the reported side effects from vitamin D treatment.
Yeah. Give you 100,000 units of a fat-soluble vitamin and watch bad things happen?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's crazy. I'd never heard of that too, but it was quoted as one of the studies they included in this review because there was a trial that looked at that.
Wow.
The question is, if the dosing is all squirrely, like, why do we believe the effects should be unified, right? And so, like, I know there are these trials, N of one, you know, patient says, oh, I'm depressed, I take vitamin D, I feel better. I fatigue, I take vitamin D, I feel better. Whatever the situation might be. I'm not discounting those experiences, but then to generalize that for the whole population and say, well, if you're fatigued, you need vitamin D, or if you're depressed, you need vitamin D, or if you don't want diabetes, you need vitamin D. how could you say that when the dosing is like so crazy? I mean, I just don't know how you can say that.
Yeah, you can't. You can't. You need a good head-to-head studies comparing the different doses and having actual tangible endpoints. Wow.
Yeah.
What about vitamin D in osteoporosis?
So the key here is they found no difference in fracture risk, right? In fractures. And so, and you know, maybe we can save this for another discussion, but I'm not sure osteoporosis is what patients worry about. No one comes to me and says, you know what? My T-score is really low. You know, like I need a new DEXA scan. My T-score, I'm feeling like my bone density is decreasing, right? What they don't want is they don't want a fracture, particularly a hip fracture, which we know can be so deleterious, right? And when they looked at fractures in this review, they found that vitamin D really made no difference in terms of the risk of fractures. So I would say the answer is no, not really. And the focus on osteoporosis and T-scores, I think, is like, it's a surrogate marker. It has some benefit, but it's not ultimately the most important thing. And so I tend not to worry about those things because what does it matter? Your T-scores could be terrible, but if you never have a fall or a fracture, most patients don't care.
Right.
It's not a patient-oriented outcome.
It is not. It is a test-oriented outcome.
Yeah.
Oh, huh. Okay.
Recap.
So, Hobie, I feel like I should rent a Skywriter and fly it all over everybody's community and say, don't screen for vitamin D levels.
Yeah.
Is that a fair wrap-up, or would you be able to say it in a perhaps more eloquent manner?
Well, what I would say is it's surprising, but the USPSTF did not find any trials on the benefit or harms of screening. As you mentioned, we do a ton of this. It's almost ubiquitous in our healthcare systems, yet there is no trials really looking at the benefit or risk of screening. And I would say there is very limited or no benefit in the treatment of vitamin D deficiency. So, you know, in summary, I'd say it's really hard to justify screening patients for vitamin D deficiency. And I would say it's very hard to justify treatment when there is such limited data talking about improvement. And so to my ultimate dad joke, it's vitamin denied.
Wah, wah. That's awesome.
It's the best I could do. I tried so hard.
That's pretty good.
Who is it?
We love our dad joke.
Okay.
Very nice.